You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. It's interesting. I was in my office today and I was listening to, I have two ears, as I say all the time. I have my left ear on Sunday school and my right ear on my preparation, final preparation for today. And I was hearing a teacher teach, and I was hearing a teacher apologize for being all over the place today. And while I was at my office, I was literally, God was giving me five different messages and change what I had for the day. And I'm five different things, and I'm like, what in the world? Five different messages. If you know anything about writing a message, there's a whole bunch of things that go in one message. Tiny, you know what I'm talking about. There's a whole bunch of things. There's all these scriptures. There's all these topics. And I'm like, five messages? I'm like, Lord, you're not the author of confusion, so why am I confused right now? What in the world you want me to speak? And he says, what you're feeling is the chaos that they're feeling. They got five different things. Five different versions of where they can go. Five different people that told them five different things. They got five different emotions. They got all of these things. He said, the chaos. He says, I want you to hear all of this because that's what they're hearing. They got all of these things and they don't have one. They got five different agendas. If this don't work, they're going to do this. If this don't work, five different. And I said, Lord, this feels messed up. He said, yeah. And he was preparing me for the body today. That's why I love God. Because he always prepares me for what I'm going to deal with. So with this thing, you say, what's the topic? What's the title? Don't ask me. No, seriously, I don't know what it, I don't know what it is. But I'm going to say something. I'm going to say, I'm talking to the people who are still breathing. I'm speaking to those that are still breathing, because what I want you to know is if you're still breathing right now, you still have the opportunity to do and be all that God wants you to do and to be. With three big words after that, bold, italicized, color red. In spite of. In spite of. I really want to do something interactive. For those that you when I said you're all over the place and all of that stuff, real quick, I just want you to stand up real quick. And I want you to just say in spite of. Don't play games with me. If it's you, just get up so I can move on with this thing. I ain't got time. Just say in spite of. Don't look at anybody when you say in spite of. This is your issue. Just say in spite of. Okay? So listen. If you're still breathing, there's still room and opportunity for you to do and be everything he called you in spite of what that thing is that's torturing you. Amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying? I want you to feel what you're feeling, know what you've been dealing with, know what you walked in here with, and speak to that thing and say, in spite of. Now, if anyone has a right foot that's standing, pick up your right foot. And I want you to stomp the ground. I mean, that was a stomp, thank you. I didn't say put your foot back down. It's not put your left foot in, put your right foot in. Pick your right. I want you to think of what it is. I want you to think about all of the things that you walked in here with that's trying to steal your joy that you're entitled. Just trying to steal your peace that you're entitled to have. And when I want you to get a visual of it, if I could get you to be like your pastor, you get angry because you say, how dare you try to steal what rightfully belongs to me. And I want you to put your right foot up, and I want you to think of that, and I need you to understand when your right foot hits the ground, you are putting that under feet. Now, depending on how high it is, you might have to kick that leg up a little bit, amen? You might have to stretch a little bit. Don't pull a hammy. When you're ready, put that right foot up, get it, and then put it under your feet aggressively. Okay, now I felt that thing, amen. That was a two-banger. I like that one right there. Amen. 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 Who has a mirror? Hold on. Everybody stand up. That was up. Who has a mirror? Come on. I noticed one woman in the house that has a mirror. I know y'all have cell phones. Thank you. Tiff, pass that up. Pass that up. Just pass it on up. All the way to the front. Real quick. Now, give it to Chelsea. All right, everybody standing up, look at your face. Pass it down to those that are standing. Just look at your face. And then pass it down. And then you can pass it that way. Now, what I want you guys to remember, and hopefully, this will fall on good ground with somebody that's standing. I want you to say to yourself, this is the last time you'll see yourself without the joy of the Lord. Now, if you're declaring that, say it to yourself. Once you say that under your declaration, please be seated. You know, there's a lot of people who don't believe in God. There's a lot of people who don't believe in the things of God. Okay, that's not what I'm going to necessarily talk about today. But what I am going to ask is, for those that do believe in God, why do you? Why do we believe in God if we won't be who God wants us to be? Why do we believe in Him if we don't want to be who He wanted to be? If we believe on God, go with me for 3.5 minutes. If we believe on God, do we believe in everything that God said, or do we believe in some of the things? I know there's some people in here that you struggle with some of the things in the Bible, you know, because you'll never get everybody that understands or believes everything. Is there anybody in here that struggles with some things that's in the Bible? Just put your hands up. Okay, you won't be isolated. Okay. I need you to understand that this is such a complex thing that everybody won't understand this. And I want to be able to help everybody who just had your hand up and say, you're not supposed to understand it all. You're not supposed to understand everything in here. What you are supposed to understand is the intention of what was written here. People say, you know, I used to have debates. Now I don't even have debates with people anymore. I used to have debates with people, and people would say that, well, this is a man-made book. My answer to that is, you are absolutely correct. When I would agree with them, that would diffuse half of it, because they're already ramped up like a shotgun. So they're already amped up. So I diffuse right there with agreeing with them, because they don't expect me to agree with them, specifically me being a pastor. And they said, this is man-made. Yep, you're right. A man wrote that. You're absolutely right. And they're like, okay, well. And a man wrote it to brainwash y'all. And that's where I say, okay, that's where the lie begins. I say, yes, a man wrote this. But this was not derived from man. It was derived from God. Another word of derived is inspired by God, written by man. And what I like is the man and the men that wrote this were human beings with human emotion.
and wrote these things contrary to their understanding. They wrote about things that they didn't even understand everything they were writing about.
You are so good.
And you're like, and so they said, what are you talking about? How in the world could they write something about what happened and they didn't even understand everything that happened? How is that humanly possible? And I said, let me introduce you to myself. My name is Pastor Bobby Gross, and I write things inspired by God that I don't understand half of the things I'm writing. And then let me take it up a notch. And then I get up on a stage and half of the things I wrote, God will take, illuminate what I didn't even understand then and have me verbalize more of what I don't understand. And yet it still be true. They say, how do you know? Because strangers will come up to me and say, how did you know that? Oh, you were speaking to me. And I said, no, he was speaking to you. I didn't even know why he had me to say what he had me to say. So what I want you to understand, there is so much in the world that you will do that you won't understand. Stop thinking you're going to understand everything. And let me break it to another level. Stop thinking you're going to agree with everything he has you going through.
And the faster you can accept that, the more peace you'll be able to have in a season of not understanding. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. Hallelujah. Okay, I hear you, Holy Spirit. You know, the funny thing is God cracks me up. I don't know, Jesse, I'm ready to pass out. You know, the funny thing is, last night I went skating with my daughter. We had a 90s skating theme party. I rocked it, just so you know. Okay, I rocked that thing. Okay. And I wasn't even talking about the skating part. I had the fake gold chains, Jesse. I had the fake diamond dollar signs, the fake bracelets. I had the ring with the big dollar signs. Now, the funny thing is, even my daughter don't know everything that I had with jewelry yesterday. Back in the 90s, I owned those things. But the dollar sign you saw me with yesterday, Tim, I had a bigger one when back in the 90s, big, thick one. Listen. Don't even get me started, okay? And don't even get me with the bunny earring they used to have with the red thing. Yeah, listen, I told y'all, your pastor was a wild boy. Listen, that's not what we're talking about today. I mean, I had the hat, I had the big glasses. You couldn't tell me nothing, Jesse, okay, basically, okay? Amen. And then I haven't been skating in over 15 years. 15 years ago was my first time being on a skating rink, 15 years ago. But I've been bumping my gums for a long time now, saying when I get on the rink, I'm going to do my thing, okay? Now I want you to know that I have proof that your pastor skated yesterday. Okay. And it was a two-hour thing, and your pastor skated. For out of 2 hours, I skated an hour and 30 minutes of those 2 hours, okay? And your boy only failed 4.5 times. Only 4.5. One, the wall cheated because there's a bench where you put your change of shoes, right? And so, CG, what happened is, because you understand, because you weren't there to help me, I told you I need a coach. And so, when you change your shoes, there's this wall, like a pillar. And you got to go, CG, like imagine this podium is the pillar. So I'm on the bench here, so I got to put my shoes on, but I got to get around the pillar to get onto the skating rink, right? So, you know, I skated for a while and I got my shoes up, got around the thing, learned how to, you know, move myself, get up, went around the pillar, and somehow the devil said, you see how we try to blame the devil. That's right. I did that on purpose. When the devil had nothing to do with it, but we always blamed it was the devil.
And the enemy, I'm getting real religious, joking, of course. The enemy came up behind me, and all of a sudden, I said, whoop-oh! Bam. Right on the back. Right? But I said, not today, Satan. I got right back up, and I did my thing, okay? I did my thing. Now, there's this one spot in that ring that's just, I don't know, I was going around, and I did my laps, okay? My watch proved it, okay? I had my steps in yesterday. Now, my watch was saying, you are doing your thing, okay? And so there was this one spot around that, for whatever reason, when I'm hitting this corner, it seemed like slicker than any other corners, right? So for whatever reason, every time, that was the spot that I have to, like, you know, it was trying to, so every time I failed, that was kind of the spot where I'd fall. I don't understand why. The point is, so with all of that, you know, I fell 4.5 times, and but then a couple times somebody would come over to me and say, like, they want to pick me up. I was like, nope. And I would get up on my own. My sister will attest. Never got help from anybody. I got up, stood up, and skated every time. Okay, I did my thing. And when I say skated, listen. Now in my head, CJ, I was on 1 foot backwards in my head. Now there was a couple times I slowed it down just enough to do this, right? Never looked up, always looked at the ground. But my point is, I did it. People kept saying, they're driving around, and sometimes they say, you know, you know, loosen up. And I ignored all of them. I ignored all of them because they didn't know what I was concentrating on. I wasn't concentrating on my form. I was concentrating on the skill. And I was determined that my daughter wanted this theme. She wanted the 90s theme. She wanted a private skating time. We closed that place out. We had it to ourselves for 2 hours. And I promised to myself she was going to see her dad skate, and she wouldn't have to worry, and she wouldn't have to think that I'm sitting at a bench not skating. And I wanted her to know that I was there fully doing it. And I want you to understand. People are talking about your form, and they're like, loosen up, loosen up, loosen up, loosen up. Some of you, you're just too stiff. You're too stiff. And I'm going to say loosen up. I'm going to say loosen up. What do you mean loosen up? You're too afraid to really be who God called you to be. Because you're afraid, what if it don't work? What if it doesn't happen? And my question is, if you said you believe in God, you believe in this word, and I asked you, there's some things that you question, we said, yeah, there's some things we don't understand, and I gave you the analogy of me speaking to people saying there are things that we'll never understand. Even when we take our last breath, there are some things that we won't understand. But what I want you to understand is, do you have the ability on the inside of you to get up after you've fallen? Forget about how you fail. Because there are some times that I was like, whoa, trying to hit the whatever you call those bars, the railing. And then there are some times that I thought I was getting it, and all of a sudden. But forget about how you have fallen. Do you have what it takes on the inside to get up? Forget about who saw you fall and how they saw you fall. Forget about how dramatic the fall was or how embarrassing the fall may have been. Do you have what it takes on the inside of you to get up? Or are you still waiting for somebody to come and grab your hand and ask you, do you need help? Are you? Now, there was a couple times, CJ, I tell you, I laid out flat just to catch my breath. Oh, seriously. Yeah, Jesse, I got a little rest, you know. Oh, 30 seconds. I mean, full flat, like Jesus, take the wheel. And then I got myself back up, and I did my thing. Then there were some times, CG, I went to sit down, you know, take my break. I said, combine the 30 minutes together is where I sat. But then I promised myself, too, if a certain song came on. CG, I promised myself. I told nobody, if certain songs come on, oh, I'm on the ring. And I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting, and I'm talking to my mom, and a song came on. I'm like, hold on, mom, hold on. Now, everybody else, they're in the middle doing their thing. Listen, I owned the outer side of that ring. CG, when I say your pastor tore it up, CG, your pastor, I owned it. That was my territory, okay? And I did my laps. And there were times that I spreaded that thing and I glided. And then I got cute, realized one time, I said, oh, I'm ready to change my speed. I was humbled. Because a song came on and had a certain beat, and I said, I'm going to skate to the beat. And as soon as I went, whoop, on the ground, I was one of the four and a halves. Then I realized, sir, you are not ready for that speed. So I no longer attempted that speed again for the remaining of the night. I stayed in my lane. And later on, you know, they say, you know, I was hugging the wall. I said, first of all, first of all, let's get something addressed. I didn't hold or hug any wall. I said, because first of all, I didn't touch the walls, okay? I wasn't touching the walls. I never touched them, so I'm no wall hugger. I told them I was being courteous, giving all of the professionals the middle ground so they didn't have to worry about skating over or around me. I was trying to be nice. My point is what I'm saying. Are you worried about how you look around other people? Are you concerned about how you look? Are you concerned about how they see you? Or are you more concerned about the skill? And the skill was, now, I had a conversation with CG before. CG she's probably going to be my coach because my wife is fired, my daughter is fired, everybody around me is fired because I want to tell you, CG, they all left me there, okay? I want you to know, CG, I want to tell you, I'm putting them all out there. Don't even think about that microphone. I will have the audio team cut it off, okay? No, not saying, are you okay? That's not, that don't count, wife. It don't count skating on one leg. You okay, sweetie? Oh, okay, bye. No, that don't count. That does not count, okay? No, I take that back. Only one person cared. Only one person, you know, no, two people, okay? Tanya and Lily. Tanya told me how to push off. She told me, you know, the power thing to push off. And Lily was telling me what she did. The rest of them, the sucker MCs, all of them, no, okay? All them sucking MCs there. Listen, CG, if you were there, you would have been there with me to told me because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what leg to push off on. I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know how to hit a turn, how to slow. Nobody told me. Only somebody said, oh, the brake is in the front. Well, what am I supposed to do with that? If I'm skating, the last thing I'm going to do is do this. So, yeah. So, because I could just see myself going forward doing that. The point is, so find out some scheduling, coach, and you're going to get me together because I have ideas in my head of things I need to be able to do on skates, okay? Okay, listen. I'm ready for Pastor Church Olympics, okay? I'm ready. I'm ready to compete with some other pastors, but I need to get my skills together. So, okay, CG, she is certified in everything, in case y'all didn't know that. Okay, she is our certified human, okay?
Human.
Yeah. So, but some of you are, you're too stiff. Some of you need to loosen up. You're taking too much too serious. Who told you you're supposed to be perfect at everything? That's why you're not having fun in life, because you're too stiff. You're too stiff and you're trying to understand everything. But CG, what I didn't do was sit and watch other people skate. I didn't sit and say, well, let me do it like them. I said, well, I got some skates, and I'm going to get out here, and I'm going to move.
to a rhythm. And then thank God I had an angel, her name was Julie, that worked there, and she told me that the skates I had was one size too big. How did I know? So she got me together. The rest of them suck MCs, we'll talk later. We'll have a family meeting. My point is, I wasn't concerned about how I looked. I wasn't concerned about how people saw me fall. What I was concerned about is making sure that I got up every time. And I went right back at it again. And I wasn't going to let those falls deter me from the skill that I was trying to develop. Are you getting something today? Are you getting something today? And if you're breathing, you should be working on the skill, not how it looks. If you're breathing, you should be working on the skill, not how you feel. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you're breathing, it's about the skill, because the skill is going to lead to eventual perfection of that thing. Are you understanding? Now, I didn't go to everybody that was with me and said, delete everything, every video you have of me falling. Because that's the fall is part of the process. And I also didn't want, I didn't ask people, send me video of me skating. Because I don't want to dwell on me skating. I want to dwell on the skill. Are you getting what I'm saying? And part of the skill is the desire to continue through the fall. The desire to continue while others saw you at one perspective. Some people saw me flat out. Some people saw me wobbly. Some people saw me, what they said, not true to form. But that's not what I focused on. And I want you to not focus on what somebody else and how they see you. How many times are you worried about how you look? Are you worried about how you presented yourself? Are you worried about that? Let me just talk to the Sunday school teacher for 30 seconds. Get over today. It's gone. Don't go home and waste your time talking to your beautiful wife about how you could have changed it and what you could have done. Move on, because there's so much more things that's more valuable and precious. It's the skill. All you wanted, it was the intention. All you wanted was to give it whatever how God wanted it, and stop thinking of the order and the form and the perfection. And that's our problem. We're too stiff. Loosen up. God's not judging us. He doesn't have his notebooks in. Oh, Jesus. Oh, they missed the mark on that. Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding. He knows we're going to wobble. Jesus knows we look like me on the skating rink yesterday, moving, but like this. Trying to be cute, but realizing if I lift up my foot, I might fall, so let me put it back down. I hope you're getting this in the spirit realm. If you loosen up and stop being so stiff and just be who God called you to be in that moment, but stay in that moment and get out of the future moments. You're stealing from your now moment, trying to reach into a moment you don't have authority to put your hand in. And so many times we live in lack because we're trying to take from tomorrow. Have less peace because I'm trying to take tomorrow's peace, and I'm not reaching in my today's bag. I'm a quarter low on joy because I'm trying to pull on two weeks ago joy when I was happy 2 weeks ago, and I'm not. The Bible says His grace is what? Sufficient. His grace is sufficient. That means if you want to pull on today's grace, you can get it. But you got to pull on today's, not when you were happy 2 days ago. Not trying to call the people that you had fun with a week ago and trying for them to make you laugh again. This isn't last week. Sorry, sweetie, you ain't on vacation no more. You're back in the real world. Oh, I wish I had a witness. But you're trying to plan next month vacation to get through this month. Well, why don't you stay in this month and you'll have the joy of this month? Or you'll spend all your time trying to get a vacation, and then you won't be able to enjoy it because of whatever takes place, and you're miserable anyway. You're too stiff. Loosen up. If the joy of the Lord is your strength, where is the joy of the Lord? it should be with you. We should be able to be happy when things aren't going well. My wife said, listen, there's so many things that have been happening to us in the last couple of weeks. It's pretty much, it's astounding. But you don't see me here talking about, you know what, let's, Tiff, go ahead and stream 2018 message. That was a good one. You know I have a right to do that. Do you know how many pastors is on summer vacation right now? And y'all watching, thank you. And then they come up with cute names for greatest hits or whatever. You gotta loosen up. Sometimes we're just too stiff. Sometimes we're taking things too serious. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And this is what I want you to understand. I need you to start stretching. You know, I don't even feel like getting in it. I don't feel, today, as your pastor, I don't feel like giving you a lot of scriptures. Because I don't think that would be valuable. And it's my job to really hear God. What is the most important thing the church need at that moment? And today, I don't believe you need a whole bunch of scriptures. Today, I believe that you need a coach to encourage you, to tell you, you're still in this thing. You're just too stiff. Loosen up. You got this thing. You're too literal. You let too much get to you. You took things personal that you shouldn't have taken personal. Or you're trying to control things you have no control over, and that's what's killing you. Anybody in here, you have somebody who don't like you? How many of y'all is still bothering you right now? Okay, that's honest. There's a couple of y'all. I'll pray for y'all. I pray for you. Matter of fact, I pray for you right now that you just release it and let it go. Because let me ask you something. The people who don't like you, how much your bills they paying? Are they feeding you? So why are they renting space in your head? Why are you carrying somebody who don't like you with you everywhere you go? Amen. If this is a free world, it's free speech, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But why does their opinion matter to you? When they shouldn't have any effect on how you're living today. And if they are having an effect, they're robbing you. You know, I'm not even gonna get into the scripture. If you don't know this by now, shame on you. Story of Moses. You can read it at your own book of Exodus. Well, Moses, you know, you had a new king, and he had said, you know, it's time for them to kill all of the boys, the newborn boys. And, of course, Moses was born. Moses was hidden. And there was a new king with a new order. And so Moses' mother had to hide him. And if you read Exodus 1, pretty much start, and I think it's like verse number 8, go down to 22, maybe something around in there, from 8 to 22, Exodus chapter 1. And then, so that's the decree of what took place. Then after that is where Moses' mother put him away, hid him, covered him, animal feces, leaves, all kind of stuff, covered him up. And I want you to understand something. Now, Moses, the cool thing, you may not think this is cool, but the Israelites back then, they were an enslaved minority. But the funny thing is they continually grew. And in spite, you know, Pharaoh, they kept growing. And he was like, what is happening? What's going on? Why can't I kill these people? Now, Moses was born an Israelite. So Moses was born an enslaved minority, but he grew up an Egyptian. So that the thing that I like about this story and how it portrayed, a lot of things in the Bible I can relate to. You're born one way.
But you're born one way, you're raised one way, and then you live another way. And some of us can't get over how we were born or how we were raised. And that's why we can't get the fruit of how we live. Because we refuse to get over how we lived. Or we refuse to get over the anger of why we were born and what we were born in. Moses was chosen to be a leader and to deliver God's people. But he was born an enslaved minority. How many of you were born as a lower class citizen? You grew up in not the best environment. But then God wants to blow on you to be the one to help deliver others. If you knew that you were created to be a deliverer, would you change how you live? How many of you recognize that you're more like Moses than you thought? And you may have had some what you call bad seasons. But what if I said all that stuff you were covered with, all that stuff you had to go through, all that hiding, what if I told you that was part of your purpose? What if I told you you had to be covered? What if I told you you wanted to be seen, but you couldn't be seen? What if I told you that you weren't held back? You were just covered and protected by God. Because that's what happened with Moses. Moses' purpose was to be eventually used by God to send his people to freedom. The people that was enslaved. What if God had to get you in an area, get you used to an area, to take you from that area, get you to live a different life so that you would understand where you were, so you'd be relatable to them, so you'd be able to go back and rescue them and take them to there. Okay, I got about three of y'all. And I don't have time. The old me would close my Bible. One of y'all probably scared. The old me would close my Bible and say, I'm done. See, because I've done that many times when I was in my 20s. When I realized I was talking to the dead, I said, well, I didn't come to a funeral, so I might as well go home. But I'm not going to do that. So I don't even want to talk to y'all about none of this, okay, because I know what I'm working with. So I'm going to talk to the people that's just not breathing, but their heartbeat is beating a little faster now. And I want to talk to you and say, some of you have been tricked by your own beliefs. And you're saying that woe is me. And I'm telling you that God created Moses as an example for you to understand. He had you born one way, had you grow up one way, to have you to live a different way. And to live is to living out your purpose. But he needed you to understand who and how and where you were delivered from. He did not, and this is the problem from some of y'all. You're trying to hang with people that God doesn't want you to hang with. You're trying to hang with people that he called you to deliver. You're trying to be compatible with people. He didn't want you to be compatible. He wants you to be understandable. You're trying to be to everything to everybody. God didn't call you to be everything to everybody. He called you to be relatable enough to understand their perspective so that they could understand you've been there, but they need to see that you're no longer there and you came from a different place to come back to where you were to pull them out. Yeah. Loosen up and understand the purpose. Some of you are still mad about your upbringing. God didn't have you to go through that for you to stay mad. He had you to go through that to have an understanding, because somebody is still there and they need to know they don't have to stay. But if you stay in the same mindset as them, who's the deliverer? He pulled you out, but there's nothing worse than being pulled out of something but still stuck there in your mind. Because the people that's there saying, I wish I could get out because my mind would be free. Yeah. There's nothing worse to not have chains on you but still stuck to the same pole.
You know, I watched something on YouTube a couple days ago, and a dog was abandoned from a puppy, chained to a pole for about a year. And they finally found the dog. They took the chain off of his neck. And for the first day, he was free physically, but mentally he wasn't. And he still walked in circles for a day. He was no longer chained, but he walked in circles. You say, Pastor, why did the dog walk in circles? Well, the pole's here. And so the distance for him to go was just around this pole. He couldn't go further. And when they took the chains in his mind, he was comfortable with that distance. So even when they took him from the pole and took him to the shelter where the dogs were, for half of that day, as the dogs were running, they're sniffing him, he's sniffing them, he still walked in circles for half a day. And they would say, be free, be free. And then he'd do this, and then he'd do this. And then halfway in the day, he took off.
Wow.
But it took him almost 2 days to recognize in his mind. That's us. Physically, we have the capabilities of going where God called us to be, but mentally, we're still stuck in our limitations. So we talk ourselves out of going forward because we're still remembering what we were chained to. And when we couldn't go further, I want to be able to help somebody today. Loosen up and recognize you can move forward. Recognize you're no longer chained to whatever you were chained to. God, he hasn't delivered you for you to stay there mentally. But he allowed you to have a remembrance of that so you can help others who's there now, where he delivered you from. Are you understand?
Yes.
There's some people who go to church chained to old churches. Mm-hmm. There's people in new, and they're single, but they're still entangled with people that they're no longer with, but they're with them in their mind. Mm-hmm. And God is saying, but the chains are broken. You don't have to be stiff anymore. You can loosen up. But you got to loosen up your mind and give your mind the ability to think different. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God is giving us the power to make the decision how we want to live. You understand what I'm saying? And so many of us have the Moses experience. We were born into some decrees. You understand? Moses had a new Pharaoh, a new king with a new agenda. We were born into some people with some agendas about us, what they thought how we were going to live. The devil is a liar. You understand what I'm saying? We had some people who thought they were going to have reign over us, and God says, not so. I will allow some stuff to be over their head for a while. They're going to have to be moved somewhere else. And then you're like, well, why couldn't I be? Because God called you, chose you, and he had to cover you for a while. You had to grow up into some things that you didn't like. Why? Because he needed you to understand what it's like so you'd have the mindset to know God, if he can get you out of it, he can get them out of it too. He didn't pull you out for you to stay mad. He didn't pull you out for you to stay bitter. He didn't break the chains for you to still walk in circles. And he didn't allow you to get out for you to come back to the same people, to hang with them again and befriend them. They're thinking you're back in the hood. Hey, Willie, listen, the club is still open. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to get you out, not go back into the club. Are you understanding?
You want to be friends with everybody, relatable to everybody, want to be able to go on every block. There should be some blocks you can't go back on. If they won't receive the new message that you're walking with and carrying. I hope somebody understood that. There's some places that they're going to, as soon as they see you, hey, let's have fun. No, I don't have fun like that. You introduce them to the new plan. If they don't want that, then the Bible says you wipe the dust off your feet and you keep moving, but you present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. When you're talking to those people and they're thinking, oh, we're about to have another one-night stand. Now you let them know, I'm only sleeping with the Bible. Amen. That's the only thing allowed in my bed until my husband and my wife come. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm telling you to loosen up. Stop being stiff. Stop taking things too serious. I can go on and on and on about things going on, but why? Things will always go on, and when this is fixed, something else is going to happen. But greater is He. Listen, that's up to you to believe it. Greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world, but are you letting what's in do what He want to do, or is what's in you is screaming to get out? There's nothing worse than to invite the Holy Spirit in you, and then the Holy Spirit screams, saying, I don't want to stay in this thing. Amen. 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 We're about to be done in a minute. I'm very thankful that God can allow us to have an opportunity to hear Him. And we can make the decision that we want to loosen up. Loosen up means to not hold what made you stiff. To not hold what kept you stiff. Not hold hands with the people who keep stiffening you. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we're going to walk by faith and not by sight, we have to believe in the God that we say we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me ask you this and then I'm done. What happened? How many people in here, you like money? To be honest. Okay. Okay, fine. It's not a trick question, y'all. I mean, it's not that kind of trick. Okay. How many people, you like how you feel when you have money? Put your hand up. Okay. How many people, you don't like the way you feel when you don't have money? You don't like the way you feel when you don't have money. Put your hand up. Okay. Stop. Let me tell you a little secret. As long as you don't like the way you feel when you don't have money, you'll always be emotional when you don't have money. Let me tell you something about your pastor. I care less about money. And that's why God keeps blessing me. Money doesn't move my needle. And those that's closest to me know I'm telling the truth. Money doesn't change how I feel. Money changes what I'm able to do. But it doesn't change how I feel. If I just got paid or I got 2 whole weeks to go, my mood don't change, nor does my actions. And if anybody outside of my wife would tell you, Tiff will know. She sees me more than everybody. I'm the same. Regardless. And that's, you get stiff when you don't have that thing that made you feel good. Because when you get money and you feel good, oh, I got money. So? Because when you don't have it, now I don't want to talk. Now I can't boast, can't brag, can't show what I have. Me, you won't know if I have it or not, because I'm not boasting, I'm not bragging, I'm not doing anything. I'm still living. I want to help you out when it comes to those things. The Bible says the when it's talking about money, it's the root. It's money is not the root of all evil. It's the lust of money. And I've seen some good people fall lusting money, having the desire to have it. Because guess what? I want to tell you breaking news. You'll never have enough. Breaking news. If you love money, you're going to want more. And you're going to do more things to get more. And if you have that attitude, you're going to get less sleep. Because you're going to do more things, have more things, more ideas to come up with more. You're going to see less of your spouse, your kids, because I got to make that money. Less sleep. The church won't see you. Sorry, can't make that event. Nope, can't be a leader because I have to make that money.
I want you to understand you need to loosen up. You got 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 to loosen up. You never ever heard any disciple saying, hold on, Jesus, hold on. I know you're trying to go over there and heal the sick, but we need to have a quick convention because our pockets are low. Find it in the Bible. Find it in the Bible where they said, slow down, Jesus. The money's a little low. We're going to have to make it up. Let's have a 3-day convention real quick. Let's heal some people. What are you chasing? Are you chasing God? Or are you chasing what makes you feel good? Because what makes you feel good might be the thing that's killing you. See, I can smile after I say that. Because whom the Son set free. See, I'm chasing one thing and it's not my wife. Seriously. I'm chasing God. Because you know what? If I got to chase her, she ain't really mine. I'm chasing after God because he's moving. And I want to be where he is. He's always moving. And I don't want to be stuck in my ways or my thoughts, EG. Are you getting it? I don't want to be stuck in what worked for me and tell God and me to latch onto him and pull him here like we do and try to hook him to a tree and say, Lord, stay right here because this was good. Oh, I know. You know, stay right. This was good, Lord. Stay right here. And God is over there and we're trying to keep him over here where it was good instead of saying, I want to be wherever you are. Because, yeah, we had a mighty move over here, but you're moving over there. Because that's wherever he is, that's where the joy is. That's where the peace is. But you gotta loosen up. 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 I end with this thing. My daughter orchestrated a 3-day festival for my birthday, a 3-day event. She had it planned out. She had an itinerary. She sent me an itinerary on the first day and told me what my birthday schedule was going to be. Sweetest thing anybody's ever done for me in my life. So I told my wife, I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. Her birthday was coming up right after mine. And I said, I'm going to take this template that she did, and I'm going to make sure that we had the same festival for her. I said, I'm going to use the template, and so we're going to rock that thing. And when she decided she wanted to have that 90s day theme and all this stuff and shut a place down and all of that, that's what it's all about. What are you talking about? We were in a skating rink for 2 hours playing nothing, bumping Jesus. Playing the good Jesus stuff, letting people in there see, and I'm going to tell you, because just in case you didn't know, I'm black. And what city were we in? Painesville. I'm going to tell you right now, it was just us over there. And, you know, sometimes, just so you know, inside of your pastor, you know, sometimes I go in certain areas that I play this game called How Many of Us Are There? And for my white family, this is I educate you on some things we have to do, because sometimes we go places. You will never know what this is like unless you accidentally go in like a African-American neighborhood. But I went to this location and I start counting, saying, can I see anybody like that looks like me? And of course I didn't until we got to the place and all of the family got out of their parking lot. But we went there
And they didn't know what to expect, because if you only watch news, you think we're about to wreck the place. We got out of our cars looking ridiculous, because we were all dressed in 90s clothes. If y'all see pictures, I have pictures. My sisters and all them, they had baggy clothes on, do-rags, I got gold chains, pinky rings. The point is, we got in there, the people couldn't have been any nicer. I'm sure they didn't know what to expect. They all said they hope we come back. They absolutely loved us. We were able to make a difference. My point to saying that is, are we living or are we making a difference? Oh, you can clap. You can yell. See, this is your church. You don't have to be quiet. We're not in the library. Girl, this is your church. And if somebody don't like it next to you, tell them to move. We made a life-lasting memory for the people who owned that establishment. For 2 whole hours. They were talking to us back and forth, engaging with us. And all I wanted her to do was have all the fun that she wanted to have. And the pleasure for me of being able to make sure financially everything she wanted this weekend was done, the pleasure is I'm not trying to think what I spent or what I lost and what I got to make up. See, the money needle didn't move. And I'm going to say this last thing, and I don't even know who this is for, and I don't know why God has me sharing my business. Lord, this is rude. I want you to know me sharing my personal business. How dare you have me? Before it all, I told her, I said, I wanted her to wear whatever she wanted to wear, whatever outfit, whatever. And I gave her a credit card. I told her, use it. She got a little scared and she asked me, hey, by the way, have you been checking your credit card to see how much I spent? I told her, no. I say that to say, she gave it to me, 2 days ago with her hands shaking. My point to this is, if your pastor, well, now I don't even know what that event costed, the whole thing, it doesn't matter. The point is, giving her a credit card, telling her to buy all of this, with me getting letters from the IRS, still telling me I owe the IRS $14,000, and I don't owe, but they keep coming after me, and they keep adding interest. And now they just sent me a letter yesterday saying that they applied something that I owe from 2013. I'm like, well, when did that happen? 2013? The point is, I got the enemy all over me. Stuff going on with our house and all of these things. But you know what? If money moved me, yesterday my daughter's event would have been canceled. If my life was derived on money, I would have said, oh, we can't do this. I got to do this, but this, blah, 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 blah. And you wouldn't even know any of that IRS any if I wouldn't have told you. My point is, what's moving you? Me chasing God moves me, because he is my provider. He is my buckler. He is my shield. He is my covering. And but are we making a difference in spite of whatever is happening? Are you getting this? Are you understanding this? Breakthrough, I don't want us, and then I'm done. I don't want us being a church of attaining good credit. Driving a car that your neighbor might say, ooh, that's nice. Getting a house, big deal. Are you still too stiff? Are you loosened up enough that God can use you? Or are you still going back to those same neighborhoods, hanging with the people that God called you to deliver? When you're going to new areas, are you changing their perspective of how they see you? Because I promise you, those people in Painesville will go back to their families and say, we're not all alike. I promise you, they'll go back and say, and it wasn't, we didn't have political conversations. They don't know what we are as far as political. All they know are we were good people, and they were able to go home and say, listen, I don't know what you think. I don't know what you heard. Are you getting this? Loosen up, people. Loosen up. Get out of your own comfort zone.
get out of your own ways and help God deliver some people as he delivered you. But if you stay in your own ways, your own emotions, you won't be able to do that. Anybody in here, and I'm done. You had some rough upbringing or some rough times, and it took you a while, and some things you still battle right now. Anger, unforgiveness. Put your hands up. All right. Real quick, slowly and slightly, just ease your way up in a standing position. Father, in the name of Jesus, hear me. Deliver us. Deliver us from the mindset of going back to unforgiveness. The mindset of trying to understand everything. Free us, Lord God. Free us and deliver us today. Let us chase after you where the peace that passes all understanding, it will guide our heart and our mind. Let not money, let not anything keep us. Let a past emotion or feeling not keep us. Let not a past activity or an event keep us stuck. Let us not be chained to the pole anymore in our mind. Let us walk straight. Let us no longer walk in circles. Loosen us up, Lord God. Address those things right now, Lord God, with us. And we come to you in spirit and in truth. And we say you have permission to move on our heart, move in our mind. Give us the power to have a release and release ourselves from the things that mentally we're still attached to. I thank you for teaching us how to be love. Be love so we can walk in it. Be love. Let us be the example of what forgiveness looks like, because we don't have to say we forgive them, because we live like all is forgiven. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you for deliverance. Those that are standing with your hands up or hands to the side, whoever you are standing up, I want you to do an activity with me. And sometimes I do this, or a lot of times I do it when I'm by myself, sometimes when I'm driving in the car, when I get those rare moments being by myself, and I'll be in the car and I just do this. And I'm applauding two people. I'm applauding God and I'm applauding me. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then I start applauding me. You're doing it. You're doing it. And I encourage myself. Because in bad spots, I'm like David, I encourage myself. And so this, when I hear the clapping, I'm like, oh, something's happening. And sometimes I confuse my flesh. Going out of the flesh, like, why are you clapping? And the flesh is like, what's happening? And I'm like, that's right, it's happening. I want y'all to have that activity with me. Okay? Y'all understand it? I want y'all to start clapping. Think about what you're clapping, though. Think about it. You walking with the Lord. You got this thing. Encourage yourself. Tell yourself, you could have flipped, but you didn't. It could have been ugly. It wasn't as bad. It could have been worse. Woo! Listen. Oh, Lord, you held me on that. Lord, you got me through that one. Ooh, that was rough, but Lord, you got me through. But I didn't quit. Thought about it, but I didn't do it. Oh, if it would have happened again, oh my God, I would have failed. But I didn't fall. Are you understanding? Are you getting this? Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Do you feel better? A simple exercise like clapping. A simple exercise. It gets you mentally back in the game. It loosens you up. Sometimes when things get a little tight for me, with all the responsibilities I have, sometimes, sorry, you've been through this before. God's got you through. This is nothing. Amen?
Listen, there's times I open up my thing and the IRS keep coming after me for years. And if I mention, IRS still, I'm one of those millions. I haven't gotten my 2019 taxes back or 2020. It would be nice to get that money, but now they're still talking about 2013. My point is, something is always going to happen. But how are you going to respond to it? I get a stupid letter from them. I say, Lord, you got this. I'm like, Lord, you got this, because I don't need to worry about this. Sometimes I just throw my favorite word at it, idiots. I call them idiots, and I keep going. My point is, loosen up. Clap your way through it. Loosen up. Stop being so stiff. Loosen up. It's not that serious. Sometimes it has a grip on your shoulders. If you're like me, I'm like, oh, loosen up. Sometimes you're too stiff. And when you're stiff, you can't think broadly. You got to loosen up so you can get another perspective. Amen? I'm asking y'all, stop going back to those places in here that change you to that pole. Stop going back. Release them. When God cut the chain of that activity, it's gone. You don't have to go back to the pole you were chained to. Be free. Walk straight now. Walk straight away from where you were. Amen? Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Father, in the name of Jesus, let everybody stand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for this group of people. I thank you for this diverse group of people. I thank you, Lord God, Father, for the beautiful people that we have. I thank you for the people who are funny and the people who are jealous of us for being funny. I thank you, Lord God, Father, for the uniqueness that you have brought into this ministry. And I pray today we loosen up like never before. We loosen up. We no longer think stiff, act stiff, pray stiff, speak stiff, preach stiff, pray stiff. From this moment on, let us loosen up and allow you to take hold of us like never before. Hallelujah. 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 Put your hands up real quick wherever you are and just repeat after me. Lord God, you spoke to me today. You did what you're supposed to do. Now's my turn. Lord, you delivered me. Now I have to walk out as though I'm delivered. Lord, you broke the chain. Now I can't walk in circles anymore. And it's up to me to walk straight. From this moment on, thank you for helping me. Thank you for speaking to me. Now I have to act on what's been said to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.